And joining us right now is Richard Mindell. He is the author of a great book. It's called Eden Falls, and it's published by the Reginald Van Fenwick Press in Stoughton, Massachusetts. Small town press, but really a great book. One of the few books I have read this year that actually I didn't put down. It was I read the whole thing, which is very unusual for me to prepare for an interview because I don't have the time to do it, but this is a good one. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you as well. Tell us a little bit about, this is your first book you ever wrote, right?
Well, actually, it's the first one I've had published. I wrote a better part of a novel many years ago, kind of an historical piece, and never did anything with it. But so this is, I guess you could say this is the first book I've ever written, yep.
Well, it's the first one you published, so I guess that not the same as the first one you've written. But what do you do in real life for real work?
Real world. I'm a carpenter,
oh.
Home builder, and I've done a number of things. I've been a history teacher and driven garbage truck up at Seward Fisheries in Seward, Alaska. So done a lot of things. Taxi cab in New York. And, yep.
And well, the history teacher must come in handy because it's obvious that you you look at history and kind of check things out.
I do, and I'm a big believer in the geographical impact on life, so it kind of goes hand in hand.
For folks who have not read Eden Falls, tell them a little bit about the synopsis of the book, a little bit about what it's about, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it.
Sure. Basically, it's a hardcore murder mystery, and it takes place against the backdrop of a serious culture clash in Vermont between native Vermonters who have certain value set and lifestyle, and newcomers coming into the state, kind of an influx of people from the cities in southern New England and New York, New York City. And this started about 30 years ago, and it's this backdrop that kind of fuels the murder mystery.
And we should, yeah, the crux of it, again, is the native versus the flatlander, the new people there. I assume that you are a flatlander yourself.
I am.
Yeah. How did you feel when you first moved to Vermont? Did people make you feel like you were a flatlander,
yeah,
or did you...
They did, and the funny part was I had lived in Alaska prior to coming to Vermont, and when they started calling me flatlander, I thought that was kind of ironic because the mountains in Alaska dwarf anything here in the Green Mountains. But then I learned it had nothing to do with mountains or valleys or anything like that. It really had to do with your outlook on life and your value system.
In the book Eden Falls, the reader is taken on a trip. We get to go out with a murderer in the book and get to explore the thoughts and feelings that's in his head.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with some of these things? I assume you didn't run out and murder a couple people. So.
No, I certainly didn't. We wouldn't be having this conversation if I had. But you have to place yourself, your emotions and everything. You have to place yourself in your character's mindset. And to answer the first part of your question, actually, Mark, my wife and I were the subject of a minor attack against our house. Somebody threw a rock through a window in our house when we built it in 1986, and it was a local carpenter who, I guess, lost some business because I had moved into the community and was quite active building houses when I came in here. And we knew who did it. We never pressed charges because, in my mind, this was not a criminal. This was a good man, a hardworking man who was just having a tough go of it. And he likened this influx of people from, as I say, New York, Boston, Hartford, and areas like that. He kind of blamed them for his situation. So, and that kind of gave rise to the thought. It started me thinking about, well, what does it take to make a moral man, a good man, commit murder? I kind of believe in the power of nature and that humans are part of nature and that we must, as mammals, have this instinct to kill within us, either for defense or for food or whatever. And obviously it's been subjugated because of our society, but it's there. And what does it take to bring that back up to the surface and make us act out this very, very, very feral force that lives within us? And so that was kind of the idea, is to go with this guy, this moral man, this good man, a man who loves his wife and his child, and his dog loves him, as evidenced by the fact that when he bends down to tie his shoes, the dog gives him a big lick up the side of his face. So I wanted to go with this guy and actually feel what he must have been feeling to do this thing. Not only before he did it, Mark, but after he did it. Would he feel remorse, guilt, or pleasure? And so I wanted to explore some of these feelings, and that's really what was behind that first scene where he goes through the woods behind his house and kills his neighbor.
Well, it immediately captures the reader's attention, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's the intention.
Now, how much did your experiences living in Vermont frame the settings of the book?
Very, very powerful influence. The scene in the backyard is basically the backyard of my house. The scene where he wakes up in the morning and walks to the closet and measures his steps and goes downstairs and knows where every creak in the wood staircase is, that's my house. And you have to borrow from yourself and from your past, your own personal history, the people you've met, the places that you've visited. These are all the components that go into fiction. And my experiences here in Vermont and the physical setting around my house, the woods, the stone walls, all of that stuff has a very powerful impact in Eden Falls.
It does. The setting actually plays quite a large part of the story.
Yep. Well, that was the intent.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, what inspired you to write the book? I mean, you know, it's an interesting book to write. What was it? Was it, as you were saying before, was it the Flatlander versus the people who lived there? Was that what started it, or was it something else? Maybe did you see a news something in the news that started it?
No, it was the Flatlander versus Native issue. Even though I'm a Flatlander, I came to Vermont because I loved the people here. I loved the dairy farm value system that's here, the hard work, the work ethic that's here, and everything else. And so, and this was the closest that I could get to Alaska when we came back down to the lower 48. My family is from Boston, and I wanted to live in New England. And it was either going to be Maine, the Pine Barrens of Maine, with all the mosquitoes they have up there, or it was going to be the mountains, the Green Mountains of Vermont. And so we chose Vermont. When I came here, I was a Flatlander, but I embraced the value system of the natives, and I wanted to be accepted by them and all of that. So I was very sensitive to the issue. And as a builder, I had to go through several planning commission hearings to get some lots permitted to build houses on. And that process kind of drove that whole conflict home to me, that sitting on planning commission, there were both natives and Flatlanders. The natives were very pro property owners' rights, and hey, it's your land, you pay taxes on it, you can build what you want. It's your right to do that. And the Flatlanders just sat there saying, no, we don't want to spoil the view, and we don't want to upset this fine balance of nature that we have here in Vermont. So that really drove the point home, and I said, well, I have to do something with this.
And I think that the same kind of thing happens out here, like on Martha's Vineyard and the Cape, and
yep.
You know, everywhere. The incident that sparks the entire book, I assume that's fiction. Is there any reality in it at all?
No. You mean the first going back 30 years prior to when the book started?
Yeah, the 1965 incident that's cited in the book.
That's purely fiction.
Okay.
Everything in the book is fiction. As I say, I do borrow from personal experiences and people I've met in my life, but it's all fiction.
Hmm. How did you get the novel to flow so well? Did you have like a roadmap that you set up, or did it just kind of flow as you wrote it?
Well, first of all, thank you. I wish my editor felt the same way. But you start with a character, essentially. I do anyway. I start with a situation. I almost borrow from what some of the filmmakers today are doing, where they'll. They'll take a situation and then build a movie around it. And I guess that's what I did with Eden Falls. I had this situation of this fellow going out to commit this murder. And as they say, I wanted to focus on the idea of what does it take to make moral man kill. And then from that, I had to develop, well, why did he kill this person? Okay, then you begin to develop a plot. Well, what are some of the other characters who may have influenced him in his life? Or what about the detective who's going to come in and investigate? And so you begin to build other characters. And then from that, you begin to assemble a skeleton, a framework. And then to that, you have to add the texture. That is the scenery, some dialogue, and things like that. But I start out with a human emotion. And then I create that character. And then I have to have a reason for that character doing those things. And then you begin to, build a framework, very much like building a house.
It's interesting, and again, the way it was written, I figured as we were reading it and you're getting to know what's going on, that we pretty much knew what was going on already, and there would really be no twists in our path as the end of this book came. And the more you read and the more complicated, the more characters that come in, the more complications that arise. By the end of the book, when the denouement occurred, it kind of caught me a little bit by surprise. I was quite pleased with the whole thing from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any false twists in it, which I like, because sometimes you read these books and and they'll throw in stuff that really makes no sense, even if you go back. Mm-hmm. There's no foreshadowing at all. It's just thrown out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it's a really well-constructed book, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. I can tell you that there's 4 years of my life in it, and I had a professor in graduate school many years ago, and he threw a paper back at me that I had handed in, and I actually thought I had done a nice job on it. And I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I'm not even going to grade it. He said, I want you to rewrite it." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, there was no passion in it." So I stood there with a dumb look on my face, and he said, "I want you to be pregnant with it before you rewrite it." And this was an old professor. It was from political science, and he was, I think he was Hungarian. And he was a real old-timer, and he had this very romantic way of looking at life. And he said, "I want you to feel pregnant with this thing before you write it. I want it to come from within. I want it to come from your heart, not your brain." So I never forgot that.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, that's the way you have to write. If you really want to bring the passion to the reader, mm-hmm. and you want them to feel that, then it has to come from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So a lesson well learned, I guess.
You know, from when we first meet our character here who goes out and kills, it brings back the question that's philosophical, and I wanted to get your take on it. Do you think we all have an instinct to kill in us?
I do, and that goes back to my viewpoint of our how we fit our role in nature. Is our human beings outside of nature, or are human beings part of nature? And my belief is that we're part of nature. We're mammals. We share common characteristics with other mammals. And we're carnivores, and we share other characteristics with other carnivores. And just because our brain has evolved to the point where we can do things like contemplate our own death or think in the future and plan strategies to deal with adversity and things like that, I still think we have some of the same basic instincts that any animal might have. You see, a plant grows, and it grows towards the sun because that's its nourishment. And so I think that every living thing has this very powerful instinct to survive, and that means to feed and reproduce. And certainly killing is part of that. It's just a fact of life. Kill for food, kill for defense. And I think we all have it.
One of the things that I really like Eden Falls, and I'm curious to know what else is coming out. I assume that you mentioned you wrote some other books. I assume they're going to follow now.
There are at least three other Simeon Cotter books coming down the pike. One of them is already written. It's called The Abortion Shop, and it's a story of a college fraternity that is doing some things that it shouldn't be doing on a fictitious college campus in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. And then I look at pack behavior in humans in a book called Wind Circle Drive, which is a story about a neighborhood watch group that goes sour. So, and that raises the question, what will human beings do in a pack that they wouldn't do as individuals? So, again, I try to look at these human things. Abortion Shop deals with the question, well, how powerful is the influence of our ancestry in the decisions we make and the things we do today? So, as I say, I try to start all these books based on a certain human emotion or human characteristic.
Are the other books going to be based, they also going to be published by the Reginald Van Fenwick Press?
No, I don't believe so, but I'm not sure at this point.
How did you connect with this small company in Stoughton, Massachusetts?
The owner read the book, read the rough draft of the manuscript several years ago, and called me up and said, "Well, how are you doing with this?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to get it placed with a major publisher, but I'm not having any luck. You interested?" And so he said, "Yeah, we're a brand new company, and we're looking for something to get us started." And that's how it all happened.
It's an interesting story, and I love the book. It's called Eden Falls, and if folks want to get the details on it, they can go to vanfenwickpress.com.
That's correct. Yeah.
And you can get all the information on it as well.
That's right.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure, Mark. I really appreciate the kind comments you made about the book and the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners.
Well, it's a book I actually read, so that's a good thing.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.